step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Our story is the story of two guys who start at the bottom, with a lot of hard work, continue along the bottom, and finally end up at the bottom.
Quit effing with our show, you're gonna ruin it. Escape from the suits, we pursuing it. Tunneled out Shawshank through the sewer, kid. Now we're chilling at the Eagle, yeah, we doing it. 2 o'clock on the dot, gotta have it. For my house of goat status, Howard Stern and Kid Craddock. Shows adding up, multiply like a rabbit. Tune in, zone out, crank it up, beat the habit.
I wanna hang out with my friends. Rock it on the radio. My homegrown homeboy spin and skin. Talk it on the radio. It's time to do this once again. Oh baby, here we go. KT, Christina, spin and skin. All up on our radio.
Why are you guys so sweaty?
KT, Christina, Ben and Skin, that is the all-star team that compromises the worst show on the radio. But all four of us are not here today.
Thank God.
We are without our little buddy from small town who sometimes likes to derail segments with awkward timing and audio magic simultaneously. Kevin Turner no longer with us.
See ya! He is, I've always said, is the vestigial organ of the Ben and Skin show.
Oh, so like the gallbladder type deal? Yep. That could be removed and
oh, okay.
No one would know.
Okay. I learned a new word today.
It's an organ without a specific function to make the body work.
Right.
And so it's like, oh, that's giving you a problem. We'll cut it out. You won't miss it.
Like, there's no way there's a mistake. Like, I was thinking about this, about the gallbladder the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody was explaining to me what all it does.
Sounds like a good friend.
It's like, so. Well, somebody had to have it removed.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And now I'm drawing a blank.
And they were standing there holding it?
I feel terrible that I don't know. And I
hey, what's that? Oh, I had my gallbladder taken out. You want to hold it?
And it's like an organ that produces extra or stores bile
on
it that you don't need or you may need.
Mm-hmm. You don't may need it. It's an excretory, they call that an excretory organ, correct?
But no way anybody said, or no way the God who created us, or however this all came to be,
Big Bang, bro,
accidentally put an unnecessary organ in. Maybe we don't need it yet, or...
No, it was evolution.
We used to need it.
Oh. And just things changed.
For what?
Just time, just evolution.
Like the foods we ate required extra bile to destroy the acid and... Or to destroy the food and digest it?
Yeah, you'd think we'd need it more with all the processed foods.
You know what it's like? It's a lot like there was a trend in the 80s where people that lived in suburbs would throw these little metal sheds up on their side yard.
Yeah.
And they would go, I'm going to put the lawnmower in there. But they could have put the lawnmower in the garage. They're like, you know what? I need a metal shed. I'm going to put... It's very much the suburban metal shed of your body. You don't need that metal shed there. So if you get rid of the metal shed, you're not going to miss it.
Oh, my God. We could bring back Shed and do metal Shed on the Eagle.
Oh, amazing. That's great. He have throws him, it to great metal cuts.
Have him talk about halftime adjustments over heavy metal.
That's amazing, metal Shed. Oh, man. I am horny for that.
Yeah.
That's great.
Let's get that pushed through.
Yep.
Get a sponsor on that.
I like that we kicked off the show with gallbladder talk.
Yeah.
I'm going to get mine removed sometime soon. An elective surgery.
I'd like to buy yours.
Oh, how much?
Have double gallbladders?
Yeah, I'd like to have double, and I'm going to use them as breast implants. I'm going to have right double gallbladder bile boobs.
Ew. Honey, I know I've racked up a bunch of gambling debt, but don't worry, Ben's going to buy my gallbladder.
Are you so racked up there?
What did you say?
What did you say?
Because it's different than just, oh, I got a bunch of debt here. He used a different term. It was nice.
What term was it?
Expanding everyone's knowledge.
Okay.
Huh?
What do you got over there?
Got a Life magazine. Want me to talk about it?
Not yet. We'll get to it. I wonder what it was over there.
I do love that you brought in a Life magazine. So we were talking about yesterday in Skin segment. It was, when's the last time you bought one of these? And we had magazine talk. Mm-hmm. And magazines used to be so incredibly important. And
I bet I have boxes of magazines over at Gators. And also in my own attic.
Yeah.
I mean, just boxes of magazines from the 80s.
Man, I've told this story before, but in the 80s, I was probably 12, maybe 11. Mm-hmm. And we went over to my mom's best friend's house. And it was during the day, and they had tea or coffee or whatever women do, anyways.
Testosterone?
Whatever those women do.
Oh. Women do.
They were like Scrabble buddies, and let's talk. They could both, they were just talking about things. They were besties.
Wasn't a basket of toys?
And I was there by myself and had nothing to do, so I explored the house.
Nice.
Well, they had an older son who was still living at the house but was in his 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And so I found his room, and I was like, oh, cool, there's cool stereo equipment in here. What is this? Oh, look, there's a kiddie pool in here. What is in it? Like a small, giant, like a swimming pool for an infant.
Uh-huh.
But it was full of magazines.
Okay.
Well, they were Playboys.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, my God, I hit the jackpot. Boobies. Well, I didn't really understand anything about Playboy at the time. I didn't understand how important the centerfold was.
You'd never been to Hefner's place?
And so I'm looking at this thing going, I really need to take these with me. Like, I need this.
Right.
Not sure why, but I think I need these. And
your body was calling.
I was like, but I don't think I could steal the magazine. Well, what about this little middle part that's like already almost coming out? And so I stole, like, 35 centerfolds.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, look, they pop out so easy. They're right in the middle. No one will ever, it's like an advertisement. No one will ever miss these. I didn't realize how important the centerfold was to the Playboy. And so I stole however many, 30 or so of those, and we went home, and my mom soon got a call. Did you go in so-and-so's room? I was like, yeah. Okay, well, we need to talk. So what is... So, yeah, so I ravaged a guy's Playboy collection, and I can't believe I thought I could get away with that.
Took all of his centerfolds?
Yeah, I took every centerfold.
Did you return them?
Yeah, I had to. I was in huge trouble.
Oh, my God.
Major hot water, and I had to, they made me, to teach me a life lesson, go hand them to him. But I remember him being kind of embarrassed, too, because he's living at home with all the Playboys.
Yeah. He lost. He's the one that lost in that scenario. I wouldn't have even, as an adult... I wouldn't have gone downstairs to my mom and gone, hey, Mom, I'm an adult. I've lost the centerfold to all my Playboys. Sorry I don't have a good job. Like, what are you doing? You know what you do? You cut your losses. You don't go throw good money after bad. Yeah. You cut your losses and you look at another part of the magazine. You don't have to go as an adult to your mom to go shake down the kid to get your centerfolds back.
Maybe he was saving those because he knew they'd be worth something.
He had no idea.
He was
idea.
Investing in these magazines.
He didn't have them in a safe place. Somebody could have filled that thing up with water and let a toddler play in it.
Water.
But I could be wrong in the ages. Maybe he was a senior in high school. Either way, questionable.
Well, either way, he ain't supposed to have those.
Well, I'll tell you this. It did bring up and make us hearken back to a day where magazines ruled the earth. Yes. And I'll be damned if K-Ray didn't come in with a really cool throwback magazine.
Yeah, thank you. So my uncle had given me this in high school. So it was old even back then, but the date on this is September 5th, 1969.
What is up?
And it was only 40 cents for this Life magazine.
And it's a big, if you're not familiar with Life magazine, it's a big, like, I guess that size is 11 by 14.
Oh, yeah, it's huge.
It's not your standard 8 by 11.
It's torn up, but honestly, for as old as it is, not bad.
No, it looks like it's in decent shape.
But yeah, the first page in it is the funniest because it's Zenith announces a major breakthrough in color TV. Very, like, as soon as you open it, and it's amazing. So,
and look at that. So that is basically been, that is five pages of advertising to start off the magazine. Because, you know, when you first open the magazine, it's like think of it like a gatefold record, and then the outer part unfolds again. So it's five full 11 by 14 panels of advertising space for Zenith in 1969 to sell their giant color television.
And it's the big console, the wooden piece of furniture, the boat anchor. And so, five pages of ads.
That's so, super duper expensive advertising for 1969.
Yeah. What was Mad Men, the show? What years?
I think it's more late 50s, early 60s, okay. I believe.
Okay.
I think it's pre-counterculture. I think it's like late 50s, early 60s.
Okay. What's counterculture? Everyone talks about the food on the counter?
Yeah. It's kind of like, that's been sitting out too long. For most people, the rise of the counterculture starts with the rise of the beatnik poets that gave way to Bob Dylan and all the folk artists. And then it eventually, in the 60s, became the hippie movement. But it starts probably with the beatniks. You know, mm-hmm. Allen Ginsberg, all those kind of people. And they're, you know, they have their billy goat beards and their sunglasses and they're tapping on a bongo and they're doing poetry, beat poetry. Okay. William
it
Burroughs.
It is a beating.
Matthew McConaughey. Yeah.
But it's, what it is it's the first time where they were saying, hey, our parents have this really wrong. They're squares. They're trying to hold us down, man. We need to tell them what's going on, man.
Yeah.
And so it's the beginning of that whole thing.
I remember feeling like that and then realizing how stupid I was to feel like that. I hope my kids don't go through that. So, K-Ray, as you look at that Life magazine from the late 60s, what are your takeaways from it? What do you think when you're looking at it?
So, well, I have a lot of takeaways, actually. So another one, besides the color TV, there's another ad in here for another TV talking about how it'll keep it actually like flesh covered, colored. It's green-looking people or purple-looking people.
Oh, okay.
It will keep it,
right.
You know,
yeah.
What it's supposed to be.
Color-corrected.
Yes, color-corrected TV automatically. I'm like, we never even had to deal with that, my age anyway.
Do you guys, I don't think Christina will have had this experience, but Ben, do you remember your first television remote control?
Yes, I was just thinking about that. I remember when the emergence of the remote control happened. We are old.
We are old. Now, the first one I remember, it had one button on it.
Uh-huh. Was that for view?
No, this would have been for like a console television.
For the TV, yeah.
And you clicked the button, and it would turn the television on, and then every time you clicked it, it would rifle through the next channel. But there's only like six or seven channels, eight or nine. So you could get through the whole channel in like 10 clicks. You'd get through everything on television.
It's amazing.
I remember where it was kind of my position or one of the kids to sit it crisscross applesauce style.
Okay.
Indian style is what we used to call it.
Hey, canceled.
You were fine.
Right next to the TV.
Mm-hmm.
So dad could say, hey, change the channel. And you had to kind of lean up, get up, and go change it with your hand because there was no remote.
Okay, what about, do you remember the very first VHS remotes?
I remember the first VHSs.
The VHS remote, it was, or at least ours, was a little silver, you know, it was probably about 4 inches long, and it was on a cord. The cord plugged into the front of the VCR in order to fast forward and rewind. And
even I had a TV where we had to get up and click it because I remember that. That sucked.
But I, you know, like we talked about this the other day. Someone asked us this: if you could go back and live at any time in the world and be any age you'd like. To me, going back and selling advertising right around 1970 mm-hmm. would have been a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm fascinated by the breakthroughs that are happening, you know, the, you know, just how wild, wild west it was.
I mean,
when you watch Mad Men and you see how weird that is, and to start off a magazine with five straight ads.
Right.
I mean,
it's
we're
amazing.
Just, and nobody had really dug it. I mean, God, psychology in general was behind at that mm-hmm. time because I watch shows about serial killers where the, you know, where they're like, okay, Mindhunters or whatever, where they're like, the FBI formed. Because they started realizing, wait, we may be able to prevent crime if we learn the psychology of the criminals we've already caught.
Mm-hmm.
We could maybe anticipate and be better able to find criminals in the future. And that started the FBI. They weren't thinking about psychology. And at this point, I wonder how much they really were putting how much thought and how they had mastered the idea of psychology and the role it plays in advertising.
Oh, I bet quite a bit. I bet you're right. Really, really, just a cool time because everything is changing.
They were, well, yeah. Like this ad right here, they're big into astrology at that time, so not really psychology. This Smirnoff ad, they've got them like sitting on an astrology sign, and you can go like figure out which one's best for your sign, which drink goes best with your sign. And it's amazing.
That's awesome. And so many cigarette ads.
Oh, I've never even heard of Viceroy cigarettes.
Is it Viceroy?
Viceroy? Is that how you say that?
That's how you say that, but I don't remember a cigarette brand called that.
There's a ton. Even the back cover is a girl smoking a cigarette. And then some big ones here. There's an article, and we mentioned this earlier. So Woodstock, this is right after Woodstock.
Yeah.
And someone says, or they're writing an article about how bad Woodstock was.
Okay.
And he just said, I hope people remember the bad parts of Woodstock, because he compares it to a concentration camp.
Oh, my God, that's incredible.
It's amazing. So I highly suggest you read this. And then there's a whole article on here on President Nixon.
Oh,
just hanging
Nixon.
Out at his home in California. And I learned this. I was telling Skin. So they have a picture of David Eisenhower just reading out by the pool. And I had no idea that he had married Richard Nixon's daughter. Right?
It's yeah.
His daughter. And so I looked that up.
Her
I was
name
like, well,
Julie
I learned.
Nixon,
yeah, Julie.
Yeah.
And they have pictures of some, like, a CIA agent, like, swimming in the pool and stuff. It's amazing.
Wow.
Dude, look at that cigarette ad on the back. Those two people totally had sex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, look at that, Ben.
So they're glamorizing cigarettes, obviously.
He's grabbing her ass in that picture.
It's beautiful people enjoying cigarettes. They look cool. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, do what the beautiful people do. But when I think about, oh, my God, here's an ad for Sports Illustrated.
Look how much it is.
Send me 27 weeks of SI for $3.87 and bill me later.
Incredible.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about yesterday.
God.
I would call these 1-800 numbers because they would bill you. And so the person on the other line didn't care that they were talking to a 10-year-old kid. They would fire off these subscriptions or send these Time Life books, or I would order those KTEL records and then be devastated when they arrived because they were not the original artist.
Right.
They would trick you on the commercial. Oh, my God, this album has the Bee Gees and the Beatles and the theme from SWAT. And then you'd get it, and they were all cover versions with some band, and you're like, oh my God, this doesn't sound right.
Okay, so think about this. And I know we have a lot of listeners who smoke cigarettes, and God bless you. I know it's...
I'm going to start.
I know it's a struggle. Here's the imagery of what smoking cigarettes is like, how it started with the advertising. It's so cool. All the beautiful people do it. It's the best thing ever. And what the reality is, to me, and this is as a non-smoker, the reality is... I see people trying to squeeze in cigarettes at terrible times.
Mm-hmm.
Like at work, you know, we used to work at this giant building that was packed with people, and it'd be like 10 degrees outside, and they're trying to squeeze in a smoke break, and they're just desperately puffing on a cigarette, and they're trying to have generic small talk with all these other people that smoke, and it's like, it looks like one of the worst curses anybody could ever put on you.
Yeah, it owns you.
It owns you.
It totally owns you.
It owns you. And it's amazing that there could be, you know, an advert, like, yeah, advertise to people. Get them addicted to this thing. Mm. And then it's going to really be bad for their health, and they're not going to be able to stop. And it's like,
dude,
it's amazing.
That's not crazy. And they all knew it. They just didn't care. You know what's crazy? I was getting caught up on the last weeks with John Oliver last night because I'd missed a couple. I didn't know he was back on. And they did a thing last week about the whole DuPont deal. And what is in a Teflon pan, like the material that goes into it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this chemical that is going to be here long after we're gone. It's a man-made chemical that's borderline impossible to get rid of. And so they were doing tests. I believe this was in the early 80s or late 70s, because they knew, all right, we need to see the levels of this chemical that are in our workers, because... You know, we need to see how high the level is, if it's getting bad. So they decided to go out into the world and get sample bloods, because whenever you do a test, you have the variable group and then you have the control group. Uh-huh. So we need to go get people that didn't work in our plants and test their blood so we have a normal level. And they couldn't find a human alive that didn't already have it in their blood.
Oh.
So the chemical, the man-made, now there's degrees of it, right? But basically 99.7% of the population has this chemical in their blood already.
From the pans?
Yeah, because it's gone into the water systems. Oh. And so, you know, as we sit here and we go, you know, cancer sucks and it does suck and all of these things. We've done these things through the industrial age and technology and all these things to put these new things in our body.
Oh, yeah. Think about like factories back in the day before there was any regulation.
Right.
Absolutely. Dump all your waste into our water source.
Right.
By all means.
Why wouldn't you?
Have at it.
It's kind of like the opening sequence of The Simpsons when the fish with three eyes pops out of the lake. But the whole thing is that all these companies know it. They all know it. They just can't hurt their bottom line. But they won't do it. So we're in this really weird juncture in the world where we all know all these things, but at this point we can't even really stop the bum rush. Like, it's the boulder's already, it's Raiders of the Lost Ark, and we didn't make it out of the cave. That thing rolled us over.
We're all going to die.
Anyway, yeah, so I say everybody start smoking way more frequently. Have fun.
Oh.
Drink on your lunch break.
I thought you were going to say, I say let them crash.
Da-da-da. All right, I think we're off to an incredible start.
Yeah, guys. God, why? The show is moving more smoothly. It's a better conversation. There's rhythm. I can't tell what the difference is.
I'd be shocked if he ever came back. Coming up next, let's go around the sports and let's get back into that Gruden stuff because, Ben, a man who you really enjoy, in fact, I would say you and I enjoy laughing at this man together. It's the man with the worst haircut in the entire world has weighed in on what is going to happen with John Gruden, and we'll tell it to you next, right here on the Mighty Eagle.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.